Kent Mawhinney pleaded guilty to interfering with police in the case that surrounds the disappearance and presumed death of Jennifer Farber Dulos, the mother of five who went missing back in 2019. Mawhinney is the former lawyer and friend of Jennifer's late estranged husband, Fotis Dulos. Joining us now to talk about the case, Bill Bloss. Attorney Bloss is our legal expert on the show. Attorney Bloss doesn't have anything to do with this case, but I do love to get his perspective on these high profile cases, especially those that happen here in Connecticut. Bill, welcome back. What can you tell us? What is your reaction to this guilty plea?
Well, you know, to say it's a pretty big change is a serious understatement. It's I can't recall a lessening of charges to this degree. You know, he is originally charged with a conspiracy to help Fotis Dulos murder his estranged wife, and then it gets substituted charges down to a misdemeanor. He's pled guilty to not being honest with the police about a phone call that he had with Dulos. So it's startling.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said that, Attorney Bloss, because I do know that as time kind of rolls on and things change and the case obviously develops, that, you know, maybe you see changes, or I should say charges lessen or get, you know, more intense. But to me, this was a stark difference of charges, and also even just the tone I felt of Kent Mawhinney in this case. Why do you think it became sort of a nothing charge is the way I'm putting it, because it really is not a big deal at all. And I don't know if it really will bring any sort of closure or answers as to where Jennifer Farber Dulos' body is. But why do you think this massive change happened?
I think that the state probably reassessed or assessed the evidence that it had, and it was facing a trial. Now, when he made it, I think it was pretty clear publicly that he was not going to plead guilty to the conspiracy charge. And he's represented by a very good lawyer out of Hartford, Jeff Kestenband. And I'm quite confident that Mr. Kestenband said, look, you know, you can't prove the case. You can't. As horrible as the murder was, it doesn't mean that he was involved in it, and you don't have any evidence that he was involved in it, other than what he pled guilty to was lying to the police about making a phone call to Dulos on the night that Dulos was dropping the clothes in the in the drains and in the garbage bins up in Hartford, but that doesn't mean that he was involved in planning the murder. And that's what he was charged with.
Right. It's a lack of proof if in fact he had anything to do with it. And so, you know, so it's interesting. So a court clerk in Stamford confirmed Mawhinney was sentenced to serve 11 months because of this, but that already equates to the time he's already served behind bars since his arrest. So essentially he's done, right? I mean, there's really nothing else that could come of this.
No, it's done. It's a little unfair to say he was sentenced. I mean, he was sentenced to serve 11 months, but it's a little misleading because he was actually, he did that 11 months when he was being held on bond on the conspiracy to commit murder charges, so that he got credit for that. I don't think there's been anybody in the history of the state of Connecticut that got 11 months for interfering with police. You know, interfering with police is, you know, basically refusing to show an officer your driver's license when they've got a reason to suspect you of committing a crime, or not cooperating and getting handcuffed or something along those lines.
So they're sort of saying that because he already did the time, essentially.
Exactly. No, he's not going to do any more time. He gets credit for the 11 months that he did being held on bond.
Right.
If he was not involved, then his being held on bond for 11 months was grossly unfair, right? Because if the evidence wasn't there to actually convict him for first degree or for a conspiracy to commit murder, then he shouldn't have been charged with it. Mm-hmm. And he shouldn't have been held on bond for it. But, you know, this is I'd be interested to you know, hear from the prosecutors what changed. It's not enough that you can charge people with a crime, and it's very easy. You know, the old saw is that a grand jury, it's easy enough in the grand jury to charge somebody with a crime. A good prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. You know, it's been going around for 100 years, but it's different to charge somebody and to convict somebody. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the evidence to convict somebody, you shouldn't charge them in the first place.
So you feel like whether or not Kent Mawhinney did have anything to do with this, which, again, there's zero evidence that he did other than he made a phone call to the late Fotis Doulos, who is, again, really prosecutors allege he killed his wife. So it would mostly be, you know, did you know anything about it or help orchestrate it? But again, no real proof of that. This was grossly unfair to even have him, you know, serve any time behind bars while he was waiting for this decision to happen.
Well, if the only crime that he was guilty of that the prosecutor could prove beyond a reasonable doubt was interfering with police, then it was seriously unfair for him to serve 11 months for that charge. Nobody has served 11 months for interfering with police.
Yeah.
Now, think about it. You know, you tell the police, you know, I didn't call him the night after the murder, and then but the phone records show I did. Is that, do you send somebody to jail for 11 months for that? No, of course not. So, but, you know, I've always struggled, you know, in this goes to Trakonis too, you know, who Michelle Trakonis, who's doing a 14 and a half year sentence. I understand the evidence of the cover up, you know, and if you believe the evidence, she was with him in Hartford, after the murder, trying to dispose of clothing and so forth. But I've just never really understood what is the evidence of pre-murder involvement by either Mawhinney or by Trakonis. It's just kind of, you know, I didn't sit down there on every day of Trakonis's trial. I didn't watch it. I've got a day job. So, you know, I know better. I should know better than to comment on trials that I haven't watched every minute of, because things happen and it's always a little unfair just to base opinions on, you know, snippets that you read. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you know, looking at the warrants, looking at the press commentary on it, I don't understand the claim of prior involvement. And that's what conspiracy to commit murder it requires. It's not conspiracy to cover up the murder, which that I get, but that Mawhinney was involved with helping to Doulos to plan it before it happened. I just never saw that. I never saw any evidence of it.
Right. Well, and again, we have attorney Bill Bloss here who brings up, you know, some really valid points in this case. And I'm wondering if is it solely because Fotis Doulos is out of the picture? This is a very high profile case. And there's sort of a, hey, we need to convict somebody. I mean, I don't know. Is that why? I mean, it's the same with, I was going to ask, you know, is this why, you know, Mawhinney even had to do a guilty plea, is because I don't know if there was any tie even back to Michelle Trakonis in the fact that, okay, so now that we have somebody in custody, you know, you sort of let the charges, I don't want to say drop, but significantly change from Mawhinney's case. I don't know.
Well, they you can say dropped. I mean, when you go from a conspiracy to commit murder to interfering with police, that's
it's like a nothing charge. Okay. Okay. As long as
exactly.
I'm not talking off the cuff. Okay.
No, you're fine. I don't know what the police worked very hard on this case.
Yeah.
And you know, and they did some amazing investigative. Undertook some amazing investigative techniques, you know, getting all the video of the truck going back and forth. It's hard for me to remember, you know, maybe the Cheshire murders would have been kind of equivalent in terms of the scope of the investigative techniques. But these were probably more when you think about it, because remember they sifted through all the garbage in Hartford that was at the recycling plant for a week. trying to find evidence. So it was an amazing investigative undertaking. But, you know, my suspicion is, and I don't have any real evidence of this at all, but my suspicion is that there was a hope that if other people face charges, they would be able to get some idea about where the body is.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. You get more voices. You try to figure out, you know, pinpoint where it is, because we still just don't know. We just don't know any of that.
You put pressure on people who may have information. And, you know, that was, I mean, at least as to Mawinney, that was a lot of pressure. You know, he's sitting in a jail for 11 months, being held on bond before he finally got out. And, you know, if he probably could have got out the day he got arrested if he had information and he agreed to give it to them. Yeah. If he'd agreed to cooperate and agreed to testify against Doulos at the time or against Traconis, or to say where that Doulos said where the body was, I mean, he could have got out of jail in 24 hours. It would be my guess.
Right.
But
right.
That didn't happen. So, I mean, what does that mean? I mean, it means either he doesn't know anything or he decided not to say anything. So ultimately, based on what the charge wound up being, I would put my money on that he didn't know anything, but I don't know.
Yeah, just a big mystery, and certainly no more answers again getting closer to where the body of Jennifer Farber Doulos ended up. And, you know, again, I don't think investigators are done certainly trying to figure that out, but Kent Mawinney is a dead end, if you will. So, Bill Bloss, always appreciate getting your expertise and getting your insight. And thank you so much for giving us the time here on WICC. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right. Attorney Bloss, who, by the way, has nothing to do with the Doulos case, but gives us some great perspective when we learn about new updates in cases like these. We appreciate it.